All right. Children's Church, eight up to fifth? 5 to 11. I don't know why I want to say fifth grade. 5 to 11, Children's Church. Brother Dan and his wife will sing and teach them the Bible and maybe have a little fun in the process. I did Children's Church for about 18 years. I don't know. Four different churches. And so if you got kids, send them on out there. And for the rest of you, Matthew 27. And while you're turning to Matthew 27, this little Sunday school student was asked this question. Would you rather be the rich man or Lazarus? And he looked back at the Sunday school teacher and he said, I'd like to be the rich man while I'm alive. And Lazarus when I'm dead. I mean, that's a smart kid, ain't it? If you don't know who the rich man Lazarus are, you go read Luke 16, okay? Matthew 27, you know, there's a lot of noise made about Easter, and I'm all about the resurrection. Of course, I don't agree with the Catholic Church or even the way they did it. Tonight, we'll celebrate the crucifixion. That's the Lord's Supper, where we'll share the symbolic blood and body of Jesus Christ, what he did for us. You come back tonight at 6 o'clock. By the way, if you're a Christian, that's commanded. Amen. It doesn't save you, but it makes you obedient. It gives you an opportunity to review what God's done for you. And you'll be glad you did it. Just like baptism. It doesn't save you, but it's a command that you do it. And then after you do it, you say, man, I'm glad I did that. Amen. All right. Matthew 27, going to read a lengthy portion of scripture here. Most of you already know it. And just so be patient, okay? Now, in verse 21 said the governors took him to the common hall. Verse 28 says, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were come unto a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Now, if you will, skip on down to, let's just go ahead and read it. And set up over his head his accusation written, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. Then were there two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, and saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priest, mocking him with the scribes and the elders, said, He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now. For if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. today I want to talk to you, since next week we're celebrating his resurrection, which we ought to do every Sunday. I want to talk to you for just a little bit about how Jesus took my hell. Amen. Calvary was a hell in review. Yes. It was a review of hell. Now, there's some TV preachers preaching that Jesus actually went to hell. He did not. He went to the grave. Yeah. He didn't go to hell. He didn't suffer in hell. He did our suffering on that cross. Amen. So we could see it. And I want to talk to you for that, about that, just a minute. Rudy, would you pray for the sermon today? Let's pray. Don't turn there, but 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21 says, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Amen. If you look at Calvary, you'll see a good picture of what it's like to go to hell. If you read Luke 16, the rich man, when he died, went to hell, he suffered all these things that Jesus is mentioned about Jesus hanging there on the cross. I want to show a few of those to you. But I want you to know, he didn't go to hell. He went to the heart of the earth, the grave, but he didn't go down into the fires of hell. And that's false doctrine. That's not real. I don't care what Jesse Duplantis or any of those TV preachers says. He suffered our hell on the cross. And so I want to show you how that happened. Number one, Jesus suffered the agony of separation from God. In verse 46, he hollers it out in the hours of darkness, and he died all alone there in the dark, hanging on that cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He'd never been without God the Father. He was born full of the Holy Ghost. He was born full of God. He was all God and all man at the same time. So he'd never been separated from God. And the rich man in hell, he suffered the agony of separation from God in the darkness. And by the way, you go to hell, you're not going to see a bunch of people. A lot of people say, well, I'll go to hell. And all of us probably say in our young, ignorant days, we'll just have a party. We'll see all our friends. No, you won't. You'll be so busy suffering in the darkness and the flame. There'll be flame and no light because God's not there. And Jesus suffered that agonizing darkness hanging on that cross. That's why it turned dark that day. It's not like those movies you see and there was a storm. No, sir. It was God removing his light, his presence away from his son and turned his back on his only begotten son. And Jesus suffered the agony of being separated, 3 hours of darkness hanging on that cross and God not with him anymore. Now, he'd never felt that before. He'd never felt not having the presence of God the Father in him. Now, you listen to me. Most of you have never felt the absence of the presence of God either. Yes. Even when you're a lost sinner. I remember many times I felt the presence of God as a lost sinner. I'd go to a funeral and feel his grace, his love, his mercy that day. Amen. I'd go to church and I'd feel his convicting power of the Holy Ghost that day. I'd hear somebody give a testimony and I would feel his presence that would convict me of my sins that day. I'll get up tomorrow and I'll see the sun rising, and when the sun comes up, and the presence of God is all over planet earth. Colossians 1:16, I think verse 18 says, "For by him were all things created, and by him all things consist, and the sun arise tomorrow," and I don't care what the climate change people say, God's in control of that, and I see and hear and feel his presence every morning. Even lost people, if it wasn't for the mercy and the grace of God, they wouldn't even be alive tomorrow, and God wouldn't bless them in this country like he does. Now that doesn't make them saved, no. But you can, look, you can go to hell or you can go to heaven. You can't get away from the presence of God until you get thrust into hell itself. And that day he suffered like we suffer when, fear. He'd never had fear before. Darkness brings fear, does it not? Anger brings fear. And God was pouring out his anger that was supposed to be ours on his son that day on the cross. Luke 16 says there's a great gulf fixed between the darkness and the light. And the rich man said, tell Lazarus, you know, to go to my father's house and tell my brothers not to come here. He was so in so much darkness, he was so afraid, he finally felt the absence of the power and the presence of a holy God. And he wanted his brothers know not to come there. And God hanging on that cross, Jesus Christ, in God in the flesh, God departs from him, and fear comes. The day shall never be for a saint that we're in that darkness. Never. People fear death because they read Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's the shadow of death. You're not going to feel the complete power of death in the darkness of going to hell. Amen? That's the second death. Now you listen to me. When God, that day it got dark, and it's not like the movies, it wasn't a thundercloud, it was God removing his presence from that space. And he suffered our darkness. Did you know if it wasn't for him dying on that cross, you and I would be cast into what it calls outer darkness, where there's crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And a lot of that is simply because of the darkness. People can't take the darkness. You ever been in a room where there's no windows, there wasn't even a crack in the door or anything? You shut the door, it's total darkness. I've been in one before, you couldn't even see your hand. I could touch my nose, still couldn't see my hand. You ever been in a place, that's how dark it was that day. And that's how dark he felt it. But thank God, I'll never experience the absence of the light of God because he paid for my sins on the cross that day. There's no limbo. I'm not going to wake up somewhere after sleeping in the darkness for 1,000 years. No, sir. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I'm in his light now, I live in his light, and when I cross over, I'll just cross over into the light. Amen? More light. And then he suffered the agony of shame. Think of it. Here's the blessed, holy, pure, perfect Son of God. Young people, listen. He'd never even had a wicked thought. We all have them. He'd never even had that. He'd never had a hateful thought. And look, he'd never been ashamed before. He had nothing to be ashamed of. He was pure and he was perfect and sinless and undefiled. But that day on the cross, it says they stripped him naked. They stripped him naked. It's not like the little old pictures you got at your house where they got some clothes hanging on. No, sir. They put him up there naked so he could be shamed before the whole world. Now, can you imagine how that pure and perfect and lovely Son of God, how ashamed he must have been hanging on that cross before? He wasn't like the generation we live in where everybody wants to run around naked. Hey, he was clothed, and nobody ever seen him unclothed before. And he was shamed and unclothed so that you and I might be clothed by his righteousness. See, people see us, and people get mad at me because I say you ought to wear your Sunday best to church. Amen. Yeah. If we're going to kneel before a holy God and a pure and a perfect Savior, if your Sunday best is clean overalls and brogans, that's fine. But you ought to put on some clothes. Amen. Amen. And here he is hanging naked. Before the whole world. And that shame, can you imagine? Now that's our shame. You see, if you don't get saved, you're going to stand before a holy God at the great white throne judgment, and all the people that's ever lived in all these years and ever died, and you're going to stand before everybody that's ever been born and died, and you're going to be standing there naked, nothing to hide behind. Job said, naked I came and naked I leave. Look, you're not taking that $500 suit with you or that $300 dress. Are those $250 tore-up blue jeans that you was dumb enough to buy? Anybody pay $200 for a pair of tore-up blue jeans, I need to go into the business, amen? But you're not going to have anything on when you stand before God. You're going to be naked. And everything's going to show. And all your sins are going to be revealed. Unless they're under the blood of Jesus Christ, they'll be thrown into the sea of forgetfulness to remember them no more. And thank God I could run a lap over that one. I'm glad he forgave my sins. I'm glad he never gone. Hey, I'm glad he put up a no fishing sign down there where nobody can fish them up and bring them up there to the judgment. And I won't be standing naked. I'll be standing clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the person without Christ will be filled just like he felt that day. Because you see, he suffered your shame and you won't receive that.
Amen.
Man, and don't you get real pious right here. I can start right here and go all the way around. And every one of us has got stuff to be ashamed of. If we just did what came in our stinking minds, we'd be more ashamed. But let me tell you something. When I stand before God, he's not going to see me. He's going to see the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, and I taught it in Sunday school. Some of you ought to have been here. Hey, they applied that blood to the doorpost. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. And the day he saved me, I took the blood, they took the blood he shed on Calvary's cross and they applied that to my account and it said, paid in full. Won't have to be ashamed. Every once in a while, old devil, he comes up and says, well, listen, don't you remember? I said, yeah, I remember, but I'm glad the Lord don't.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He suffered the agony of shame. He took my shame. Listen to this. The Bible says he took my shame and he removed it as far as the east is from the west.
Yes.
I don't care how far you go east, you'll never meet west.
Right.
And I don't care how far west you go, you'll never meet east. Amen. Some of y'all have to think about that, I can tell. But thank God. Hey. You know, some of y'all might say, well, Brother Ron, I remember when you, yeah, but I won't hear that there. Well, Brother Ron, we wrote this down. Yeah, but he ain't going to say that. He's going to say, hey, that don't, he's going to tell the angel, look in that book over there, and he's going to say, clean. Clean. And I won't be ashamed, amen? And hey, if you know God through Jesus Christ, you won't have to be ashamed. He suffered your shame on Calvary's cross. And that's what you're going to suffer in hell. You're going to be in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And you're going to suffer the shame of being in hell because you knew better. You could have come to Christ and went to heaven. Just think of all the billions of people there in hell right now. Isaiah said hell enlarges itself. The whole people. That's why the volcanoes and earthquakes. Hell's getting bigger. And listen, think about this. There's nobody down there says, I'm proud to be here.
No.
Not one. There's nobody in hell says, I'm proud to be here. If you could go to them and talk to them, every one of them would say, I'm ashamed that I ended up in hell. God meant better for me, and God wanted to save me, and God wanted to forgive me, and God wanted to take me to heaven. But I love my sin or my pride more than I believed him, and I'm ashamed I'm going to spend eternity in hell forever and ever and ever, and I'm never going to forget it. It's going to come up all the time.
Amen.
They'll be ashamed for every sermon they ever heard and rejected it.
Amen.
They'll be ashamed every time Mama looked at them with tears in her eyes. Said, you need to get... all eternity. They'll be ashamed every time they remember daddy, that godly grandpa said, son, daughter, you need to, all their life they'll be ashamed. Thank God I don't have to face it. And then not only that, John 19:28-29 says this, and after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now listen, the next one says there was vinegar there and they dipped a sponge with vinegar and they put it on a hyssop and they put it up to his mouth. Now they didn't give him water. You hear me? They didn't give him water. They were mocking him. They were torturing him. You can't drink vinegar when you're dying of thirst. And he rejected the vinegar. You know what that was? He suffered the agony of thirst for us.
Yes.
That rich man in hell said, look, why don't you send Lazarus over here with the tip of his finger wet and let him touch my tongue with it that he'll help my thirst. I'm thirsty over here. Can you imagine? Now that was the Lord. He was so thirsty that if somebody had took a little water on the end of a sponge and touched it to his tongue, it would have felt better. But they didn't. And he suffered the thirst that we ought to suffer in hell.
Yes.
You know, most people die and have thirst quenched by somebody that loves them. They give them a little bit of water. I remember, close that door back there. I remember me and my mama, listen, me and my wife was down there with my mama when she was passing away, and thank God it didn't take long, but her mouth just dried up, and we take those little sponges, and these had morphine in them too, and we'd wipe them around in her mouth. Well, can you imagine what it would be like to be hanging on that cross and needing water, and nobody would give you water? You'd think somebody would love him enough to try to go over and give him some water, wouldn't you? But you know, that wasn't a problem. The thing was that he loved us so much, he really wouldn't take the water. Jesus satisfies our thirst in John chapter 4, that woman at the well, and nobody wants to have anything to do with her, and nobody wants to be there when she drinks water, and nobody wants to help her get water, and Jesus is sitting there when she shows up, and they start talking about that water, and she's talking about the water in the well, and he looks at her, and he said, if you knew about the water I have to give thee, you'd ask me for it, and I'd give it to you, and you'd never thirst again. Well, I remember March the 5th, 1978, I walked in that church thirsty. Spiritually, I was thirsty. I needed something. Oh man, I was so dry spiritually. I was looking for something. You ever felt that way? Yeah. You're just looking for something. I walked in there that day, and boy, that preacher got to preaching, and I didn't know how, but I did it. I didn't even know I was doing it at the time, but I accepted Christ. And did you know by the time that all that praying and all the scripture was read and everything, my thirst was quenched, and I've never thirsted again. I was born again that day. He gave me living water to drink, because he suffered thirst on that cross. I'll never suffer the thirst of hell or any spiritual thirst. Somebody said one day, said, preacher, you think you a Baptist is the only one right? I said, I don't know. I've never been nothing else. I said, but I'll tell you this, I'm not looking for anything else either. March the 5th, 1978, I got my thirst quenched. I'll never thirst again. I don't have to go down to Kingdom Hall and see what they say. I'm satisfied with what I got. I don't have to go to the Mormon ward and see what they say. I'm satisfied with what I got. Amen. I don't have to run over to the Catholic Church and count some beads and bow down to some statues and let some priest wearing a woman's gown and have me call him Father. Hey, I don't need all that. I'm not thirsty anymore. He quenched my thirst. But you know why? How he did that? He thirsted in my place. Jesus satisfies our thirst. And then John chapter 7, you know what he says? Out of your belly will flow living waters. He gave me just one drink of that water, and I'm full. And I'm so full now that I can let it come out and give it to other people too. Amen. I can share it. The living water lives in me. It'll never die, never go stale. Amen. Did you know that he suffered the agony for us? In Luke 19, verse 26, he looked at one of the apostles. He said, son, here's your mother. Mother, here's your son. He was concerned about his mama while he was dying on the cross. Let me tell you something. If you don't love your mama, you need to get saved. Amen. You need to get right with God. I don't see how you can be a Christian and not have concern about your mama. He had concern that day. Just like that rich man in hell. He said, send Lazarus. I've got five brethren that need to be saved. I don't want them to come down here. And Jesus suffered the concern that day that we ought to have and don't always have. Thank God he was concerned for us. He said, he looked at that crowd and he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Thank you, Jesus. If it had been me and you, we'd been spitting and screaming and hollering at them. Instead, he said, Father, forgive them. Amen. Did you know he didn't want anybody around that cross to go to hell?
That's right.
He didn't have to stay there, son. The Bible says it. He could have called down 10,000 angels.
Yes.
They could have delivered him. He could have just spoke the word and killed everybody around there. All they had to do is say, die, they'd all die. His word's what gives life and takes it away. But he had a concern for sinners. Not only that, he suffered my second death. Hebrews 2:14 says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. In other words, he took on a body, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. He became flesh so that he could die everybody else's death. You know, if he didn't want to, he'd still be here today. If he didn't want to die, he'd still be here. They didn't kill him. He gave up his life. And he suffered that second death. Listen, he suffered the agony of separation from God himself. Now, we won't only miss hell, but we're going to miss the second death too. When hell is cast into the lake of fire, he suffered that for us. Now, I want you to know something. I'm going to quit. To refuse Jesus and his work on the cross is to face the sufferings of hell and the lake of fire that he already suffered in your place. And you would be a fool to reject what he's already paid for. I've told this story over and over, but I don't even remember the southern... There was a southern colonel. It's a true story. I used to know his name and where he was in jail at. But at the end, at the end of the war between the states, we don't call it civil war, wasn't nothing civil about it. At the end of the war between the states, there was a southern, I think he was a colonel, and he was in a northern jail. And after everything was done, and I can't remember the time, it was months later, maybe a year, they declared that all Southern military leaders would be pardoned. They'd put the ones they could find in jail for treason against the United States government. But then they had mercy on them. They pronounced them, said, all of you can be free. The president signed it. And they went through the jails letting them out, and they went to this particular one colonel, and they told him, they opened the cell, and they said, you're free to go. And he said, why? And they said, well, the president signed your pardon. That's a true story. He said, I don't recognize your president. And he died in jail. He never left jail. Now, wouldn't you say that's probably one of the most foolish things you ever heard? But there's a lot of people that don't receive what Jesus did on the cross. And their pardon's already been signed. And down at the bottom it says, paid in full by the Creator of the universe. And if you reject that, you'll do the suffering because you wouldn't let him do it for you. I like that song, Kneel at the Cross. Jesus will meet you there. Now, you're not going to get it being high-minded and thinking that you're going to get good enough. You'll never be good enough.
That's right.
And even if you could, who's going to pay for what you've already done? You're going to have to kneel at the cross. And John 1:12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he the power, the right, the authority to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And if you refuse that, you'll do your own suffering. But if you receive that, there's already a signed check paid in full. You'll never have to go to hell. Preacher, I can't live it. That's the same thing I said. But that's why he died, because you can't live it. Well, preacher, I'm not good enough now. That's why he died. You're not good enough. Well, preacher, I'm afraid I'll fail. You will. That's why he died, to pay for past, present, and future sins. Now, to have eternal life, all you got to do is receive what he did on the cross. Amen. He'll do the rest.
Yes.
Now, for y'all Christians, you let me tell you something. We'll never be good enough.
That's right.
And the old devil's going to tell us that all the time. But I thank God that he was good enough.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep going. And every time I fall, I'm going to get back up, because I'm going to say, under the blood. And I'm going to confess my sins, and he's going to forgive my sins, and it's under the blood. And I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's all him, or it's not him at all. Now, we're going to have the invitation in just a minute. And if you will, if you're not saved, I beg you, I plead, would you? He's already paid for it. Why don't you come get it? I'll meet you right down here. And those of you who are saved, you ought to, hey, some of y'all ought to be down at the altar and say, Lord, I forgot all this. Thank you for bringing it back up.
Yes, thank you.
Paid in full. Amen. Father.